It's good to be back with you this morning, brethren. If you would please take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians, chapter 1. We'll read this opening section in which Paul reveals to us our salvation. Ephesians 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Now, in continuing our series on the glory of Christ, I want to ask you a question this morning. What makes Christ glorious to you? What makes Christ glorious to you? Now, in answering that question, there may be many specific things that we think of, many of the things that Paul has just reminded us of in this passage. But in answering this question this morning, I'm looking for a far broader answer. John Owen, in his ongoing treatise, reminds us that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us himself. And with that gift, he gives to us every blessing. Now, the scriptures seek to impress this truth upon us in many passages. We've just read here from Ephesians 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing." Those words are well known to us. But do we stop and think about them and consider their application to our lives every day? Paul, in writing to the Corinthian church, reminds them of the blessings that God has given to them through his work in them. And because of him, because of God, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. This is like a summary of a list of blessings that come to us through Christ. The Lord Jesus himself summarized it in familiar words spoken to the disciples in the upper room just before his death. He said to them, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing." And in that simple illustration, the Lord Jesus pictures his disciples vitally connected to him like branches to a vine, and life flows out of the vine into the branches so that they are able to live the Christian life. And the negative pronouncement that Christ attaches to this saying fastens it to our mind. Without me, you can do nothing. Pretty absolute. Every good thing in our life comes from Christ. Now, we began this morning by singing that glorious truth. Come, thou fount of every blessing. We sing it so easily, but do we really think about it? That every blessing that comes into our lives comes because Christ has given himself to us, and in that gift, every good thing. Think about that in the most basic terms. We often would think of it in these glorious saving terms: election, redemption, forgiveness, and that is all wonderful, but think of it in the most basic terms. Do you pray? Well, if you can pray, it's because of Christ. Do you love your husband or do you love your wife? If you do, it's because of Christ. Are you blessed by picking up your Bible and being able to read it and study it? If that is true of your experience, it's because of Christ. Do you find delight in coming to church and worshiping with God's people and fellowshipping with them and go home with a sense of blessing? It's all because of the Lord Jesus Christ. The list could go on and on, but we need to remember everything good in our life is because of Jesus Christ, because he's given himself to us, and along with himself, every good thing. Now, having been reminded of this glorious truth, of Christ's gift to us of himself, let's briefly ask the question, how does Christ give himself to us along with every good thing? How does Christ give himself to us along with every good thing? Three simple, brief answers. First of all, he gives himself to us by the Holy Spirit. We could appeal to many New Testament passages that affirm this basic truth. Again, when the Lord Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples and seeking to encourage them, despite the fact that he was going away and would be leaving them, he made this promise: I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. And then along with that, he gave them the promise of the Holy Spirit through whom he comes to his people. Now that is a universal fact of Christian experience. Every person who is a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ has been given the Holy Spirit to indwell them and bring Christ to us. That is stated clearly by Paul when he reminds the Corinthians that they are the temples of the Holy Spirit, both corporately as a church and individually as disciples of the Lord Jesus. He so insists upon this reality that Paul can say to the Roman church, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. And note how he describes the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of Christ, because it's through the Spirit that this gracious union of the Lord Jesus with us is brought about along with every spiritual blessing. So Christ gives himself to us through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, he gives himself to us by implanting a new nature within us. Now, we often think about Christ taking our human nature to himself. But we don't think enough about Christ giving us his divine nature. Such a statement may shock us initially, but think of the biblical witness. Peter says very plainly, speaking of our salvation, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. God has given us a new nature in our salvation, to be like the Lord Jesus. The apostle, in writing to the Corinthian church, speaking of our ongoing sanctification, says, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." So not only in that initial gift of salvation, but in our ongoing Christian life, as we look at the Lord Jesus, the Spirit is working in our hearts and transforming our inner man to be like Christ. Paul, in exhorting the Ephesian church about this work of sanctification that is our work, he says, to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. God is building this new nature within us to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why the fruit of the Spirit that must mark every believer, those are marks of Christ. When you look at the fruit of the Spirit and examine them, they're all things that were true of the Lord Jesus. And by that work, God is building this new nature within us. Thirdly, Christ gives himself to us through that saving act we call union with Christ. Now, one of the most common statements in the New Testament is the simple phrase, "In Christ." If you just go through this passage we read from Ephesians 1, you have it over and over again, "in Christ," or "in him," or "in the beloved." That's multiplied many times through Paul's letters. It describes that mysterious saving operation by which we are joined to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul describes it for all believers in his famous testimony, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." By this gracious union, Christ pours into our lives every spiritual blessing, strengthening us, giving us grace to persevere to our final breath. So hear this simple reminder that Christ has given us everything that we need to make it to heaven by giving us himself. And having given himself to us through the work of the Holy Spirit, by putting a new nature within us and growing that new nature, by this wonderful union with Christ, which is part of our salvation, we receive these blessings from our Savior every day. Now, how powerfully is that presented to us in this meal? Here we have these two elements speaking to us of the gift of Christ to himself. He laid down his life for us. He gave himself to us. And as we take the bread and eat it and take the cup and drink it, we're reminded that Christ is really in us as much as that bread and juice are. And as they supply nutrients for our bodies, though only in a small measure, so Christ is supplying our needs every day. Surely, that should make Christ glorious to us, that he has given himself to us, and in that gift, every spiritual blessing. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father, we cannot